Nailed It is a competition show that celebrates baking failures. So when host Nicole Byer learned it was nominated for an Emmy, she was shocked.
We were nominated? Everybody was surprised.
And not just because Byer isn't a baker. She's a comedian who bears her insecurities. She riffs on her looks. She sings on her podcast about her sex life, or lack of it.
Why won't you date me? Why won't you date me? Please tell me.
I think it's funny to like try to sing and then really desperately plead. Why won't you date me? It's a real question. I'm so single.
Nicole Byer and I talked before a live audience at the Downtown Independent Theater in L.A. in partnership with KPCC. We discussed, among other things, how she broke into comedy. There's a telling sketch from a few years ago when she was with the troupe, the Upright Citizens Brigade.
I need you to be blacker. Do you understand what I mean when I say blacker?
No, I'm sorry. I don't.
Do you know how to be sassy? Still rolling. Go ahead.
LaShawna, did you get those clams I asked for?
Ooh, child. Got them clams. I got everything on that list you gave me.
Blacker.
Clams make the party. Ha ha.
Spike Lee.
Ooh, the clams. Ooh, yes.
Oprah.
You're getting a clam. You're getting a clam.
Yes.
Nicole. So I think that what was surprising about when I first saw that was that it was still funny. Like that it still existed, that it was still funny, and that actors were still going through that.
Yeah. I know what I sound like. So it would require me to code switch for me to do those things. And that's not who I am. It's hurtful when you realize, oh, Hollywood understands one type of black. Like there isn't one type of white. Like Emma Stone, Emma Roberts, all these girls get to exist. They can be anything they want. And we have to be just one thing. It really makes me upset.
No, this is interesting. And it's interesting using the term code switching. I mean, I think obviously as someone in public radio, I go through the same thing. I get the same questions of like, is that your real voice? It's like, well, I'm talking, aren't I? You know, like
when I was little, people would say to me and my sister or to my mother, wow, they're so well spoken. And I didn't realize until I was an adult that that's a microaggression.
Same thing.
Just because I'm a little black girl doesn't mean that I'm going to sound the type of way you think I'm going to sound. My name is Nicole because my mother knew that on a resume, a black sounding or a black looking name will not get you in the door. That is not different now in 2019.
On that note, there is one aspect of your story that I see always kind of on the edge of the frame, and that's like the story of your family and growing up. I want to play a sample of a moment like that on your podcast.
My dad would cut the grass in bike shorts. So when I was an adult, I realized why women would stop by the house and be like, hi, Trevor. Well, and I was just like, our neighborhood's friendly. Yeah. It's like, nope.
Where was your mom?
Oh, she was inside. She was not threatened at all. Yeah, after they both passed, me and my sister found an economy-sized box of condoms in his like armoire. And we were like, oh, so I guess that's why she was not worried.
Okay, so first of all, I want to say that I'm very sorry that you went through that, you know, and that that's difficult. And can you tell us what happened to your parents?
Yeah, so my mom died of a pulmonary embolism. So it was a blood clot in her leg that traveled to her heart. It was very sudden.
And how old were you?
16. And then my dad died when I was 21. I was living in New York at the time. My dad and I didn't really get along because he truly didn't understand any of the decisions I ever made. So I like surprised him, and then we made pizzas and we had a really great time. He like went grocery shopping, got me like all the toppings I liked, and we just really like had a wonderful evening. Like, and then my sister woke me up at like 7 a.m. and was like, I think daddy's having a seizure. He died of like a massive heart attack the next day.
Who helped you through those passings?
Comedy. I had started doing improv, I think the beginning of June 2008, and my dad died in June 2008. And I'd asked him when I started taking classes, I was like, Daddy, okay, so for my grad show, will you finally come to New York and watch me perform? And then he said, hard no, I'll die before I watch you do improv. People don't like that joke.
Yeah.
I still think it's pretty funny. But yeah, doing comedy truly helped me through that because It took my mind off of things. I didn't have to be me for the 2 hours of play rehearsal. It was a blessing that I had found these things before they passed away so I could escape.
It's a lot of pressure, though.
What do you mean?
To, like, hold it all to yourself.
Oh, I go to so much therapy.
Okay.
So much therapy.
That's the part I wanted to get out here.
So much therapy. I'm a huge supporter of people getting into therapy, especially Black women. We're told, you know, be a strong Black woman. Your business is your business. And it's like, it's good to like talk to people who are not your friends or you're not your family.
You mentioned the idea of it being helpful for Black women in particular. And I want to dig into that for just a tiny bit because I think you haven't been afraid to talk about some of your frustrations,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be with production assistants mm-hmm. or makeup people.
Like, have you ever seen a white woman do a Black woman's natural hair?
Oh, it has happened to me.
Isn't it
yes.
wild where they're just like, okay,
yeah.
and you're good.
Right.
You're like, you didn't put anything in my
I
hair.
Know.
Also, you patted it into a square.
Like, yeah.
Also, like, wardrobe things. Sometimes people don't want to shop for a fat person, so I'll just bring things. Because I've done things where they've had to cut the shirt that I'm wearing, so the back is open. Yeah, it's awful. Being a woman, a fat woman, a fat Black woman, you are literally garbage to people, and they treat you any sort of way they want.
And how do you cope with it?
Huh. oh, Mary. I'm past being like, oh, I'm so lucky to be here. I'm like, well, I'm funny. That's why I'm here. So I just do my job.
You know, I think fundamentally your brand at this point is joy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, when my mom died, I was a hellion. I think that's a good word. I made a lot of bad choices and I was like really angry with the world and I lived with a very reckless abandon. Like one of my dear friends was like, when I first met you, I thought you were gonna die before you hit 30. So I think those years really shaped me into now because now I'm like in therapy and like I do a little yoga. I just started taking care of myself. I have a lot of things I want to share with the world, and I really like what I do. It really brings me joy to do comedy.
It brings all Uh-oh. Of us joy. And we're glad you're taking care of yourself.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long journey to that.
Nicole Byer, comedian and host of Nailed It. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we spoke to Nicole Byer live in Los Angeles as part of our series on the rule-breaking women of comedy.